Lidar Agravelazid, their news anchor and a journalist. She's covers Israel and the Middle East. Lidar, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
A great pleasure. Of course, the very, very moving scenes of Eden Alexander being returned, Witkoff giving him a necklace that belonged to his late son, incredibly, incredibly moving, indicating, I think, the commitment, certainly, that the U.S. has to the return of the hostages. What does this mean to the families of the others, of those still in Gaza?
Well, I think it was a very bittersweet moment for these families. Of course, everyone here in Israel was overjoyed at the release of Eden Alexander, but no one is forgetting for a moment the other 58 hostages that still remain in captivity. And I think that this gave them also a little bit of hope that President Trump, that the U.S. administration, after a lot of speculation about the ties between Washington and Jerusalem over the past few weeks, that they're still very much committed to trying to release all of the hostages. And so, you know, yesterday, Steve Witkoff visited Hostages Square in Tel Aviv. He met with the families of the hostages, specifically the families of the American-Israeli hostages. Wolbi Chen, the father of fallen U.S.-Israeli IDF soldier Itai Chen. There are now still, I think, four American bodies that are still being held by Hamas. And just on Monday, President Trump said how important it was to get the bodies out and the remaining hostages out. So I think there is a lot of hope here, especially with President Trump in the region, in the Gulf region, visiting Qatar. There's a lot of hope that perhaps there will be some sort of new deal to emerge, some sort of breakthrough in the negotiations.
I was listening to a podcast, the Call Me Back podcast, and one of the concerns raised there was the message to Israelis about the fact that Eden had a American and Israeli passport, and that this to some extent is a win for a country like Iran, who wants to see more foreign passports, because then it shows them sort of less commitment to the Israel project, as they would probably call it. And what this does is underscores that message, because it says to a mom whose son is going into the army, you know what, maybe let's try and get you that foreign passport, because there's more of a chance of you being saved if you hold a foreign a passport from another country. Is this, I heard that raised, I don't know how much of a real concern it is. What your thoughts on that?
So I'll start by saying that on October 7th, it wasn't just, as you mentioned, Israelis that were murdered, but it really was citizens from countries all over the world. And even today, there are still citizens being held by Hamas from other countries, not just from the United States and Israel, but from from many other countries. And so I would maybe disagree with that statement. You know, I think that, look, we had President Biden in the office for a very long time, and he wasn't able to secure the release of any Americans, while Israel and the current government did secure the release of many of the hostages. I think that Israel has a moral obligation to ensure that it returns all of the hostages, Israeli and foreign, by the way. I don't differentiate between, just because someone holds a foreign citizenship, I don't think it makes them any more valuable or less valuable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in terms of the mood, the morale amongst the families of the remaining hostages must be very difficult obviously that's an understatement, but even more so where this number has been reduced and they kind of the last ones left still hoping for an outcome.
Absolutely. I mean, the families have been through absolute hell. There's no other way to state it. I think, you know, they've endured 19 months of uncertainty. They've endured 19 months knowing, I mean, knowing that their children, that their family members are being held in dungeons, that they're being tortured. I mean, just now, Idan Alexander was released, and we heard some of the gruesome details of his captivity. You know, he was handcuffed, he was starved, he had a bag placed over his head. He was held in a dungeon without daylight, without other people for months on end. So, I mean, knowing that your loved one is facing a similar situation, not knowing whether each day will be their last, I mean, it's absolute torture, it's absolute hell. So the families are, you know, and they're incredible, in my opinion. They're resilient, they're holding out hope. And we know that out of the 58 hostages, only 20 are still alive, 19 now, because Idan was released. And so they're just waiting and hoping that some kind of negotiation, some kind of deal will be reached, that their loved ones will come home.
Yeah, does this further exacerbate the antagonism towards Netanyahu, the fact that Trump has managed to secure the release of a hostage?
I think so. There's been a lot of antagonism towards Netanyahu and government. Many Israelis, and even amongst the families of the hostages themselves, there's a lot of difference of opinions. You know, some have taken a very antagonistic approach to the government. Others have supported Netanyahu. So even amongst the families, you know, there's a lot of different opinions, different political opinions. And what we're seeing now is a lot of criticism, for sure, especially coming from the families and, of course, the left side of the political spectrum, saying that, you know, President Trump was able to secure the release of the hostage while Israel's own government was unable to do so. So there is a lot of criticism leveled at Netanyahu and his government for not doing enough, for not, reaching a deal with Hamas. But at the end of the day, we have to remember one thing, that it's Hamas that is holding the hostages. It's Hamas that perpetrated October 7th, you know, the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. It's Hamas that broke the ceasefire on October 7th. And it's Hamas that could at any moment, could have throughout, you know, all these nearly 600 days, could have at any point released the hostages, surrendered, and ended this war. So I think, you know, and Hamas has rejected many, many deals that were put on the table, both by the Biden administration and the current Trump administration. Even Steve Witkoff, I think, famously said that he had been duped by Hamas. So we know that we're dealing with, a terrorist organization, an evil, evil terrorist organization. And I think at the end of the day, the blame lies squarely on Hamas and no one else.